Okay, for those of you listening on WTPR, we're in Bible Readings for the Home again, 1914 edition, section 6, the Sure Word of Prophecy, chapter 64, which is entitled The Seven Trumpets. There's an awful lot of titles, but for those of you that know about the book, that's the way it runs. All right, are we going to do two at a time? Because there's like 21 of them and 22 of them or something like that. Is that all right? Do two at a time? Two is fine. Goody, goody. All right, number one. Following the seven seals, under what symbols was the next series of thrilling events shown the Apostle John? Are we in the right section? Or we were doing prophecy on Tuesdays and the character of Christ on Sundays, but we're already done with the character of Christ then, right? I think we are. We're good? All right. All right. We had to change. Okay. We had no choice. All right, following the seven seals, under what symbols was the next series of thrilling events shown to the Apostle John? And it says in Revelation 8, verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And with what do these trumpets deal? With the wars, commotion, political upheavals, which result in breaking up the downfall of the Roman Empire, the first four with the downfall of Western Rome, the fifth and sixth with the downfall of Eastern Rome, and the seventh with the final downfall of Rome in its broadcast sense, or all the kingdoms of the world. See Revelation 8 and 9 and 11, verses 14 and 19. A trumpet is the symbol of war, of course. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, and Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So I guess this is just a note. They should have put a little note there in front, because this is a valid opinion, but it's an opinion nonetheless. Which reminds me, for some strange reason, I was thinking about doing this on Pell Talk tonight, too. I went on Pell Talk, was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. Yeah, that's right, it was yesterday. It's a couple hours before Sabbath broke, maybe about 3 hours. I got on Pell Talk for about 2.5 hours because I miss going out there and doing that street preaching kind of a thing and talking about the Antichrist and using historic events and matching with Scripture. And it went pretty well. We had like about 40 people in the room, so we were a number one room there for a while. There was another room above us that had like 50 people, but it was one of those Hebrew rooms where they don't speak English. So anyway, if anybody would be interested to do that like maybe once a week on Pell Talk and help me moderate, because I tell you, when I started it last night, somebody had to come in and help me moderate, but I don't trust the guy because he was also doing things I didn't much care for. He's a guy that has a website that has a lot of my stuff on his site, but there were some things that he did that I wouldn't have done. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. It's just he handled it differently. So if someone would, from our group here, plus it will generate more people to come in here too, I'm sure, eventually. That's how the room got filled up the first time. We started sharing with people from Pell Talk, and then we brought them here. All right, number three. Oh, no, that's whoever's next, whoever goes next there.
All right, number three. I'll have to find out more about the Pell Talk. I've never heard of that before, Nick, so I'll learn about it and see if I can get there on a given day or night. But anyway, number three says, under what figures is the first trumpet described? Under what figures is the first trumpet described? The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now I'm reading what you wrote, Nick. People that are your monads are out of there, too. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. There's all kind of Satan's out there in the world, buddy, and we got to go out there and preach a message, so we're going to be out there with all kinds of evil, I mean, I got no fear of that. I just don't, and like you in this room, I don't want to bring evil in here to where what you call babes in Christ, people who don't quite have the discernment yet, have a chance to get lost before they get grounded. But, I'm pretty grounded, and I got a hard head, so take your best shot, you know what I mean? Anyway, let me get back here. Under what figures, this is number three for all you on the radio, sorry, I get sidetracked occasionally. under what figures is the first trumpet described? The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. That's from Revelation 8, 7. Then we got a long section here. It's called Notes. Twice, at least, before the Roman Empire became divided permanently into two parts, the Eastern and Western, there was a tripartite division of the empire. The first occurred 311 A.D. when it was divided between Constantine, Licinius, and Maximum. The other in 337 A.D. on the death of Constantine, when it was divided between his three sons, Constantine, Constans, and Constantinus. That's from Albert Barnes on Revelation 12:4. To Constantinus was given Constantinople and the East. To Constans, Italy, Ithium, which was, I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, I'm sure, but that's Greece, basically. North Africa, and to Constantine was given Britain, Gaul, and Spain. This trumpet describes the first great invasion upon Western or ancient Rome by the Goths under Alaric from 395 AD to 410 AD. In 408, he descended upon Italy, the middle, third part, pillaging and burning cities and slaughtering their inhabitants. Says Gibbon in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, chapter 33, closing sentence. The union of the Roman Empire was dissolved. Its genius was humbled in the dust, and its armies of unknown barbarians issuing from the frozen regions of the north had established their victorious reign over the fairest provinces of Europe and Africa. Number four. What striking figure is used to describe the destruction wrought under the second trumpet? The answer is, the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed, from verses 8 and 9. And the note says, this describes the invasions and conquests of the Vandals under the terrible Genseric, first of Africa and later of Italy, from 428 to 476 AD. His conquests were largely by sea. In a single night near Carthage, he destroyed by fire and sword more than half of the Roman fleet, consisting of 1,113 ships and over 100,000 men. See Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, chapter 36. Next.
Number five. What was to take place under the third trumpet? This is from verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Notes. The harassing invasions and conquests of Attila the Hun are foretold here. His conquests were characterized by fire, sword, and pillage along the Rhine in Gaul and northern Italy. He claimed descent from Nimrod, styled himself the scourge of God and the dread of the world, and boasted that grass would never grow again where his horse had trod. His greatest battle was at Chalons in Gaul, 41 AD, where of his 700,000 men, from 100,000 to 300,000 are said to have been left dead on the field. See Gibbon's Rome, chapter 35, and 15 Decisive Battles of the World by Sir Edward Creasy, chapter 6. Says Gibbon, chapter 34, in the reign of Attila the Huns again became the terror of the world, and he proceeds to describe the character and actions of that formidable barbarian who, he says, alternately insulted and invaded the East and the West and urged the rapid downfall of the Roman Empire. Number six, what was to occur under the fourth trumpet? Verse 12 says, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Note, this trumpet brings us to the fall of Western Rome in 476 AD, when the Herulean barbarians, under the leadership of Odoacer, took possession of the city and scepter of Rome, and the great empire, which had hitherto been the empress of the world, was reduced to a poor dukedom, tributary to the Exarch of Ravenna. Its luminaries or civil rulers were smitten and ceased to shine. Italy now became, in effect, a province of the Empire of the East. The Roman Empire in the West had come to an end after an existence from the founding of Rome of 1,229 years. That's from Myers' General History, page 348.
All right. Number seven. What was to be the character of the last three trumpets? Verse 13 says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. And I guess the graphic's a little difficult to read. I've got 1280 by 1024, and I just can't read that. It's too tiny. Number eight, after the fall of Western Rome, what power in the East arose to harass and overrun the Roman world, East and West? And it's a note. It says Mohammedism, commonly known as the Turkish or Ottoman power, which arose in Arabia with Muhammad in 622 AD, which, by the way, there is now historic evidence to prove the Vatican actually invented that religion because they wanted to wipe out the Jews and the real Christians. And they wanted Israel, or the land of Jerusalem, as payment for helping them do that. And, of course, when they got done, you know, with the Crusades and stuff and killing all those people, Rome wanted their payment. And I guess the Muslims thought they were all that in a bag of chips. And, look, you know, why should we bow to you? Look at all we've done, not realizing, you know, that they were being helped. And then you had that big war. And that's why the Muslims to this day hate Christians, because they think the Catholic Church is a Christian church because of what they did to them when they got the help of the rest of the world. And that's just the way Rome always worked. But on the Pope's chair that he sits on, that throne, when he's in the Sede Gestoria inside St. Peter's Basilica, it's underneath it. I've got the documentation on the website, and it took me a while to get it because I asked people on the radio, if you have this, could you please send me the documentation, because I couldn't find it. And after about a month, someone sent it to me, or a couple of weeks or something. And it says in Arabic, dedicated to Allah. And it has some Bible verse, a verse from the Quran. It's etched on the Vatican's chair, the seat that the Pope sits on. So there you have it.
All right, got back just in time. Sorry, I had got a little pager button that goes off when my wife wants something. She's in another room, so... Anyway, nine. How is the fifth trumpet or first woe introduced? And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, from Revelation 9, 1 and 3. The notes say, Attila is symbolized by the star of the third trumpet, Mohammed by the star of this trumpet. The bottomless pit doubtless refers to the race wastes of the Arabian desert, and interestingly enough, there's a, wasn't too long ago, a cleric, or one of, I guess they call them clerics, one of the Muslim holy men, talks about and actually uses the word. It's amazing how they use the same words, just like the Catholic Church does, that, that prophecy says they were would use. And he talks about the Mohammedan, the Islamic religion, the Arabs coming out of the bottomless pit of Saudi Arabia, out of the bottomless pit of the Arabian desert. He actually uses those words and has no idea that he's just confirming prophecy in our Bible, in a Bible that they say is altered. It's crazy. But the Catholics do it all the time, too, man. I mean, they just actually use the same words that the Bible says they're going to use, and they actually do it. Let's see, where did I stop? Refer to the race to the... Okay, wait, okay. The bottomless pit doubtless refers to the waste of the Arabian desert, which from which came forth the Mohammedans, or saccharins of Arabia, like swarms of locusts. The darkening caused by the smoke from this pit fitly represents the spread of Mohammedanism, tongue-tied, and its doctrines over Asia, Africa, and portions of Europe. Their power, as scorpions, is strikingly seen in their vigorous and speedy attacks upon and overthrow of their enemies. Over a large part of Spain, over North Africa, Egypt, Syria, Babylonia, Persia, North India, and portions of Central Asia, were spread, to the more or less perfect exclusion of native customs, speech, and worship, the manners, the language, and the religion of the Arabian conquerors, from Myers' General History, page 401. Number 10, what command was given these locusts? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, from verse 4, still in Revelation. The notes section says, when the Arabian tribes were gathered for the conquest of Syria in 633 AD, the caliph Abu Bakr, the successor of Muhammad, instructed the chiefs of his army not to allow their victory to be stained with the blood of women and children, to destroy no palm trees nor burn any fields of corn, to cut down no fruit trees nor do any mischief to cattle, and to spare those religious persons who lived retired in monasteries and purposed to themselves to serve God in that way. But he said, you will find another sort of people that belong to the synagogue of Satan, who have shaven crowns. Be sure you cleave their skulls and give them no quarter till they either turn Mohammedan or pay tribute. In this, Mohammedanism itself, a false religion, is revealed as a scourge to apostate Christianity. In a short time they, the Mohammedan saccharins, had taken from the Arians all the principal old Semitic lands, Palestine, Syria, Mesopotamia, Assyria, and Babylonia. To these was soon added Egypt, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, article on Mohammedism. Number 11.
Wow. Number 11. What were these locusts said to have over them? Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, margin, a destroyer. Note, for hundreds of years, the Mohammedan and invading Tartar tribes, like the locusts, Proverbs 30, verse 27, had no general government or king over them, but were divided into bands or factions under separate leaders. But in the 12th century, Temujin, king of the Mongols or Moguls, who is described as the most terrible scourge that ever afflicted the human race, built up an empire at the cost, it is estimated, Myers, in his General History, page 461, of 50,000 cities and towns and 5 million lives. This was followed by the more permanent Tartar Empire, founded by Osman a century later, commonly known as the Ottoman Empire, and ruled by the Sultan. From the first, the great characteristic of the Turkish government has been that of a destroyer. Speaking of a war by the Turks upon the Byzantine Empire in 1050, Gibbon, chapter 57, says, the myriads of Turkish horse overspread a frontier of 600 miles from Taurus to Erzurum, and the blood of 130,000 Christians was a grateful sacrifice to the Arabian prophet. In 1058, the Turks wrested the Holy Land from the Saracens, desecrated the holy places, and treated the pilgrims to Jerusalem with cruelty. This brought on the 9 unsuccessful crusades of the next 2 centuries for the recovery of the Holy Land. Wow. Number 12. What definite period is mentioned under this trumpet? Verse 10, see also verse 5, says, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Note, it was on the 27th of July in the year 1299, says Gibbon, that Ottomans first invaded the territory of Nicomedia in Asia Minor, and the singular accuracy of the date, he adds, seems to disclose some foresight of the rapid and destructive growth of the monster. And this is from the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, chapter 64, paragraph 14. This, then, we take to be the beginning of the period referred to. A Bible month consists of 30 days. 5 months would be 150 days. Allowing a day for a year, 150 years from July 27, 1299, would reach to July 27, 1449. During this period, the Turks were engaged in almost constant warfare with the Greek Empire, and yet without conquering it.
Boy, that's a long war. All right, number 13. With what statement does the fifth trumpet close? One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. Verse 12. Number 14. What command is given under the sixth trumpet? And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Verses 13 and 14. And the note says, these four angels are understood to refer to the 4 leading Turkish sultanates, Aleppo, Iconium, Damascus, and Baghdad, of which the Ottoman Empire was composed, situated in a country watered by the river Euphrates. As a striking parallel, it may be noted that under the sixth plague of Revelation 16, verses 12 to 16, the four angels of Revelation 7, verses 1 to 3, will loose the winds of four of war, the waters of the river Euphrates, which is the Turkish Empire, will be dried up, and the armies of the nations will assemble for the Battle of Armageddon. I don't know. I think I have a problem with this, because I'm looking at the Armageddon. That's Armageddon global. This is a, I don't know. Is this appearing to show that it's just going to be in one particular particular area? I got to reread it. Hold on.
No, I don't think so. It, you go from a local area in the time of the trumpets, and then they're comparing the trumpets to the sixth trumpet, I guess. They're comparing that to the sixth plague, and it's kind of just to show that, you know, it's a striking parallel that under the sixth plague, the four angels will loose the winds of war, just like under the sixth trumpet, the four angels that were loosed, bound by the great river Euphrates, which went out to make war and, you know, do whatever. That was a kind of a local event, which is part of the Muhammad Islam thing. But in a parallel, it will be, you know, it's the four angels in Revelation 7:1 will be loosed at the end times, and the river. Euphrates, the Turkish Empire will be dried up. But that in itself, to me, is the only part of that that I have a problem with, because that's saying that the natural river would dry up, and that river is many rivers, waters, and people, and that stands for people that will be dried up. And, you know, as far as the false religions, and that's when they'll start to understand what the papacy did to them.
Yeah, that's where I had a problem, right when I started talking about that river, because it's putting it in one specific location. And I know it's global, and it's like Lynn said, it's not a literal battle. It's just them coming against all of us, you know, on a global scale. It just all, you know, it's, yeah. And, I mean, it's, yeah. And I didn't know Bonnie had a problem with this, too. So, yeah, it just seems to, they could have explained it better, what they could have done. Like what you're saying, Chris, they could have put a little bit more of that information in there.
But we'll keep on trucking. We're at number 15. That's what you have discernment for there, Mr. Nicholas. You got to have some discernment. It doesn't matter what you read, you know. It doesn't matter who says it. I've often said, you know, I listen to you preach all the time, and I'm always taking notes, and you guys go through the Bible a whole lot quicker than I do when you get your notes out. But, hey, man, I can write them down as fast as the next guy, and doggone it if I don't go check out what you tell me, you know. I mean, that's being a Berean. That's what Paul said, and that's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, number 15, we'll keep on keeping on. What warlike scene is given under this trumpet? The number of armies of the horsemen was twice 10,000 times 10,000, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceeds fire and smoke and brimstone. Notes. In the year 1453, Mohammed XI, the great Sultan of the Ottomans, laid siege to the capital, Constantinople, with an army of over 200,000 men. After a short investment, the place was taken by storm, which is a frontal attack. The cross, which since the time of Constantine the Great had surmounted the dome of St. Sophia, was replaced by the crescent, which remains to this day. And that's from Myers General History, edition 1902. Pages 462 through 463. Thus Constantinople, the eastern seat of the Roman Empire since the days of Constantine, was captured by the Turks. Reference also seems to be made here to the use of firearms, which began to be employed by the Turks towards the close of the 13th century, and which, discharged from horseback, would give the appearance of fire and smoke issuing from the horse's mouth. In the Battle of Armageddon, to which allusion may here be made, an army of twice 10,000 times 10,000, or 200 million, will doubtlessly be assembled. And I think that's, again, there's another thing I have a problem with, because that army that is assembled for the Battle of Armageddon is all the people on the earth, and there's 6 billion of us now, and if only there's only 200 million of them in the army, that means there's a whole lot more Christians than I think there's going to be, you know. Anyway, where we'll talk about this. Where'd this book come from? Anyway, number 16, and I'll go on, then we'll keep going. What was the result of this warfare by means of fire, smoke, and brimstone? By these three was a third part of the men killed, from verse 18. Note, this shows the deadly effect of the new means of warfare. Constantinople was subdued, her empire subverted, and her religion trampled in the dust by the Muslim conquerors. That's from Elias, or the Apocalypse, boy, man, I hate Latin. Volume 1, page 484.
Yeah, I'm not good with Latin either. Number 17. What definite period is mentioned under this trumpet? Verse 15 says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Note, an hour in prophetic time is equal to 15 days. A day stands for a year, a month for 30 years, a year for 360 years. Added together, these amount to 391 years and 15 days. The time allotted for the Ottoman supremacy. commencing July 27, 1449, the date of the close of the fifth trumpet, this period would end August 11, 1840. The exact fulfillment of the words of inspiration, this date marks the fall of the Ottoman Empire as an independent power. Wasted beyond hope of recovery in a war with Muhammad Ali, Pasha of Egypt, the Sultan of Turkey submitted to the dictates of the four great powers of Europe, England, Russia, Austria, and Prussia, and through his minister Rifat Bey, on that very day, August 11, 1840, placed in the hands of Muhammad Ali the decision or ultimatum drawn up by these powers. Since then, Turkey has existed only by the help of sufferance of the great powers of Europe and has commonly been referred to as the sick man of the East. Number 18. With what announcement does the sixth trumpet close? Revelation 11, verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. Note, the definite period under the sixth trumpet brings us to 1840, when Turkey lost her independence. Her final downfall, we understand, will come at the opening of the seventh trumpet.
Okay. 19, right? I was emailing me that myself, that quote. 19. What is to be finished when the seventh trumpet is about to sound? This is from Revelation 10, verse 7, one of those Bibles that Ellen White used to like, revised version. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then is finished the mystery of God according to the good tidings which he declared to his servants the prophets. Note, the mystery of God is the gospel. Ephesians 3, verses 3 to 6, Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. When this trumpet is about to sound, therefore, the gospel will close, and the end will come. The time of trouble of Daniel 12, 1, and the seven last plagues and the battle of Armageddon spoken of in Revelation 16 will take place when this trumpet begins to sound. Okay, number 20. What events mark the sounding of the seventh trumpet? And this is Revelation 11, verses 15 to 17. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the note is the seventh trumpet, therefore, brings us to the setting up of God's everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Okay. Looks like I get the last two. Number 21, what is the condition of the nations and what other events are due or impending at this time? And I would say this time referring to where Nick just left off is between the sixth and seventh trumpets. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shalt shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's from verse 18. The note section says, the closing scenes of this world's history and the judgment are clearly brought to view here. Ever since the loss of independence by the Ottoman Empire in 1840, the nations have been preparing for war as never before in view of international complications. In a world war which all fear is inevitable upon the dissolution of Turkey and the final disposition of its territory. Towering above all others, the Eastern question has been the one of paramount concern to them. The investigative judgment began in heaven in 1844 at the close of the prophetic period of 2,300 days. When this is finished, the time of reward will have arrived, the end will have come, and the saints will themselves sit in judgment. See Revelation 24 and 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. Okay. 22. What scene in heaven was presented to the prophet as the seventh trumpet was about to sound? And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail from Revelation 11:19. Note says, this forcibly calls attention to the closing work of Christ in the second apartment, or the most holy place of the sanctuary in heaven, which began in 1844. See readings referred to in preceding note. The reference to the Ark of God's Testament is a forcible reminder also of that which is to be the standard in the judgment, the law of God or Ten Commandments. See Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, Romans 2, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, James 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 12. From its closing words, the references to great hail, the seventh trumpet evidently embraces the seven last plagues. See Revelation 16, verse 17 through 18. And from its opening words, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. It marks the setting up of God's everlasting kingdom.
Did I discern that you discern that there's a little something wrong with that first quote? Where he says the investigative judgment began in heaven in 1844. Okay, that's right. At the close of the prophetic period of 2,300 days. Now, this is where it gets iffy, because it doesn't seem like, maybe I'm misunderstanding him, because it needs to be clarified. When this is finished. Oh, okay, then I misunderstood him. When this is finished. In other words, he's probably talking about when the investigative judgment is finished. The time of reward will have arrived, the end will have come, and the saints will themselves sit in judgment. Okay, never mind. I was just a little confused there. It sounded like he was saying when the 2,300 days is finished, the time of reward will have arrived, the end has come, and hey, wait a second, that was over 150 years ago, or 100 some odd years ago. You know what I mean? Is that what you were getting there? Because I was getting a little confused there when that should have been worded better.
Yeah, you saw me slow down because I was trying to keep reading and go back and reread at the same time to be sure that, you know, I was understanding what I was reading. Sometimes when you're reading out loud, you know, anyway, I don't know. But, yeah, I agree with you. I was going to pause and slow down a minute because I was getting ready to say, wait a minute, just like you just did. But I managed to, you know, back up and catch it again. And figured it was all right because he's actually referring to the end of the investigative judgment, and when that's over, basically everything's over.
Yeah, amen. And yeah, me too, Lynn. That's why sometimes I reread and reread. It's like this morning when I was in my it wasn't the devotion. Yeah, it was the Bible study. I must have read 5 verses 10 times in a row. I kept getting sidetracked in my mind because of all these attacks and stuff like that. I kept getting these thoughts, and I didn't want to get these thoughts. And so I had to keep going back and rereading, you know, because, you know, all these weird things. I'm trying to figure out how to fix the computer at the same time. And I don't want to do that. I want to get everything out of my mind so when I sit down to the scriptures, I won't even eat before I hit the Bible. I don't want nothing messing with my brain when I'm sitting down there, you know. And I know what you mean there. Sometimes it's hard to read and understand at the same time. You got to keep rereading it. Can you hear all the kids upstairs making noise? They seem like they're right over my head, jumping up and down on it or something. But hey there, Sister Bonnie. How you doing there? Got to here just in time for us to pray. Shall we get on our knees? Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your scripture. We thank you for giving us discernment, too, because even when we're not watching, it just flies right in there. Sometimes you least expect it, and all of a sudden your truth just flies forward, and we see, you know, problems with what we're reading. So thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the hedge of angels that you always have about us, and the answered prayers. We thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, those that help us, and even those that come against us. And those that are sick and ailing, and all those unspoken requests that we've had, and the loved ones that are sick, and that we've mentioned before, I can't remember any names, but you know their names, Father. And so we lift them all up, that you put your healing hands upon them, physically as well as spiritually. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. So, anyway, Bonnie, did you get my email? Sorry, I had to reboot the server a couple of times, and I noticed you fell out. I don't know if you got any of my notes that were in the room, because I know when I turn off the server, you can't go back and read. So I sent you an email about what I said in the room about the ban software. Now, I found an old version of my config files that had all the bans, all the IPs that were banned. We got hacked last night, it could have been a couple of days ago. I don't know when we were hacked. But somebody got into my server on the remedygod.net server, and all they did was erase all the IP addresses that were banned. That's all they did, nothing else. And there's only a few people that know I use that particular type of server software, and I paid for it, so I'm kind of stuck with it. But the people that created it actually answered my email this morning, because I says, have I been hacked? And I sent them a config file, and they're checking into it right now, and they're going to find out. Yeah, I know. I'm letting everybody know on the radio. But I'm not going to mention the name of the server software. So, man, I may as well flip the radio over, too, anyway. So, thank you for listening to WTPR. Be back in a minute with the pre-recorded broadcast. Back from 2004. Let me just make sure it's... Oh, come on with the thing. There it goes. Okay. But yeah, it didn't cause any problems with the computer or nothing like that. It's just that the people that were banned can now get in. Well, not now. At that time, they can get in. And so, but the guys that created the software are checking into it. If they can find out who did it, I'm going to let them handle it. Because they're a big time server software company, and they will handle it, you know, the way.